We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fall is all about cozy comforts, but when you're prioritizing your health, it's easy to feel like you're missing out. With Hero Bread, you can enjoy all your fall favorites because they're made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, tortillas, bagels, dinner rolls, and more. Try their all-new Hero Noodles with 12 grams of protein and just 80 calories. So skip replacing every carb with cauliflower and indulge in your breakfast, lunch, and dinnertime favorites while still hitting your goals. From breakfast bagels and meal-prepped enchiladas to mouth-watering burgers and cheesy noodles, you won't believe Hero Bread's options have 0 to 5 grams net carbs and are high fiber from the taste and texture. They've even got small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the popular Hero Croissant. And right now, Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains 2 to 18 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on Hero.co for more information.
This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
They're not just coming for Diddy anymore. They've already arrived and they brought the feds. In early March 2025, Sean Diddy Combs was hit with a superseding indictment. Legalese for the government saying, "We've got more." And what they've added is brutal. Allegations that Diddy used threats, psychological pressure, and outright physical force to coerce an employee into sex acts. The kind of stuff that doesn't just raise eyebrows, it kicks down the door on the entire public image he spent decades curating. Entrepreneur, icon, mogul, sure. But now, federally accused sex traffickers and abusers of power are part of the vocabulary too. This new indictment landed like a second earthquake following the already rattling original one from last year. Diddy's been in federal custody since late 2024, denied bail after a judge agreed with prosecutors that he posed a real threat to witnesses. According to court filings, the feds allege he ran a pattern of exploitation that wasn't just sleazy. It was organized, methodical, and designed to silence the people involved. Now they're saying at least one of those people wasn't a model or some anonymous partygoer from a tabloid headline. It was one of his own employees. Somebody who worked under him, lived in the system, and allegedly got chewed up by it. That's the shape this thing has taken. It's not one accusation. It's not 10. It's systemic, says the government. And if you zoom out for a second, that isn't just a PR nightmare. It's a federal criminal prosecution. And yet, in the middle of all that, just when it looked like everything was closing in, one lawsuit folded. A big one. One that got headlines for all the wrong reasons. Remember that civil lawsuit filed by an anonymous woman who claimed that back in 2000, when she was just 13 years old, she was raped by both Diddy and Sean Carter. Yes, that Sean Carter, aka Jay-Z, after being allegedly trafficked to a party in NYC. That lawsuit was abruptly dropped in February. And not just dropped, dismissed with prejudice. That means it's gone. Permanently. No refiling. No, oops, let me fix a few things and try again. That door is closed. Jay-Z's legal team didn't waste a second calling it a victory. His lawyer, Alex Spiro, was basically waving the legal version of a white flag with "vindicated" written on it, saying Jay-Z had stood up to a heinous and false accusation, refused to settle, and walked away clean. He even made a point to say that Jay-Z never paid a penny. Not a dime. Which is rare in these high-profile cases, where even innocent parties often settle just to make the noise go away. Diddy's camp also jumped on the opportunity. In a public statement, his attorneys called it the first crack in what they say is a collapsing wall of lies. They claimed this dismissal shows that the lawsuits piling up against him aren't grounded in reality, but built on a foundation of falsehoods and opportunism. They called Tony Busby, the attorney behind that and several other lawsuits, an ambulance chaser, who's more interested in headlines than facts. That line didn't come from a tabloid, it came from a court filing. And look, if you're trying to understand how Diddy's defense is playing this, this is it. They're trying to frame it as a manufactured scandal, something built by a loud lawyer and shaky plaintiffs, rather than a long-suppressed pattern of abuse. The messaging is clear. If one suit fell apart, the rest might too. If one person lied, who's to say the rest didn't? But here's where it gets a little tricky. Because while Diddy's team is pushing that narrative hard, they're still preparing for a federal criminal trial that starts in May. A trial where the bar is way higher than a civil suit. Civil suits are about more likely than not. Criminal trials are about beyond a reasonable doubt. And the government isn't playing small ball here. They're using laws usually reserved for trafficking networks and organized crime. They've painted a picture of Combs as not just someone who crossed a line once or twice, but someone who allegedly built an ecosystem around abuse. An environment where people felt trapped. Not just because he was rich or famous, but because he held power over their paychecks, reputations, even their freedom. And if the allegations are true, that ecosystem ran on silence, fear, and control. Now, does the dropped lawsuit affect the criminal case? Not directly. They're separate arenas, different standards, different judges, different rules. But it affects the story. It affects how the public sees things. And maybe more importantly, it gives Diddy's team a rhetorical weapon to use against every other accuser. You saw what happened last time. How do you know this isn't another cash grab? And yeah, the public has a short memory, especially when celebrities are involved. But a courtroom doesn't. Evidence matters. Testimony matters. Patterns matter. And if the feds show up to trial with multiple people saying the same things over years in different cities, a single civil dismissal might not mean a whole lot. Still, the timing of the drop lawsuit couldn't have been better for the defense. It handed them their first real talking point, something tangible they could point to as proof that not all these allegations are rock solid. They needed that. Because so far, this thing has mostly been a one-way street. Accusations coming in like incoming fire, piling up fast. And speaking of fire, the tone of Diddy's defense has gotten more aggressive lately. They're not just denying the claims anymore, they're going on offense, painting the accusers as liars, questioning their motives, calling the lawsuits baseless, false, and predatory. It's not subtle. And it's not just legal positioning, it's media strategy. They're trying to shift the story away from the allegations and toward the people making them. And to some extent, it's working. After that one lawsuit was dropped, a handful of media outlets started revisiting the broader picture with a little more skepticism. That's exactly what the defense wants. They know that if they can inject enough doubt into the conversation, even if they can't erase the allegations, they can at least muddy the waters. And in a courtroom or a boardroom, that sometimes counts for a lot. But at the same time, none of this changes the fact that Diddy is facing a criminal trial in just a few weeks. A real one. With jurors, witnesses, and potential prison time if convicted. And even though he's pleaded not guilty to all charges, the fact that he's been denied bail tells you just how seriously the government is taking this. they've said on the record that releasing him would pose a danger. Not because he's a flight risk, but because they're afraid he might intimidate or manipulate witnesses. That's rare. And it says a lot about the dynamics at play behind the scenes. So now you've got two tracks running at the same time. On one hand, the civil cases, where plaintiffs are telling stories about drugs, coercion, sexual assault, sometimes going back decades. If the federal case is the fire closing in around Diddy, then Tony Busby is the guy who showed up with a tank of gasoline and a Zippo lighter. By late 2024, Busby had already made headlines. He was the guy with the Texas swagger, a high-powered civil attorney who doesn't mind a camera and definitely doesn't mind a fight. He's known for flashy suits, aggressive lawsuits, and public statements that land like uppercuts. But what he brought to the table in Diddy's case wasn't just flair, it was volume. By the time the clock struck 2025, Busby had stacked more than a dozen civil lawsuits against Combs, and he wasn't done. He said publicly he was representing over 100 alleged victims, with even more preparing to file claims. One of his press releases made it clear the floodgates were open, and he was standing in the middle of the current, inviting more people to step forward. And this wasn't quiet work. Busby went on television. He issued statements. He even launched a 1-800 hotline for potential accusers to call in. Seriously, a hotline. Like it was a class action over defective airbags or contaminated lettuce. Only here, the product in question was alleged to be decades of abuse at the hands of one of the most powerful men in music. Now, for a minute, that strategy was working. One after another, lawsuits started to appear. Many filed under pseudonyms like Jane Doe or John Doe. They told stories of being drugged, assaulted, trafficked. Some claimed the abuse happened when they were minors. Some said they were employees or aspiring artists who were manipulated under the promise of opportunity. There were disturbing details. Claims of being filmed without consent, coerced into sex acts, physically threatened, or paid off to stay silent. The allegations spanned cities and years, from the 1990s up to more recent times. And what made it even more intense was how quickly they piled up. It wasn't a drip, it was a wave. Busby positioned himself as the guy taking on Goliath. He painted Diddy as the embodiment of unchecked power in the entertainment industry, a predator who used fame, money, and intimidation to isolate and control people around him, and he wasn't exactly subtle about it. At a press conference in the fall, he said flat out that Combs would face a legal reckoning, unlike anything he'd seen before. The way Busby talked, this wasn't just litigation, it was war. But here's the thing about war, it's messy. And when you go charging into battle on this scale with this many plaintiffs and this much noise, you better have your house in order. Busby didn't, because while he was filing lawsuits in New York federal court left and right, he overlooked a fairly critical piece of protocol. He wasn't licensed to practice there. That doesn't mean he couldn't be involved. Lawyers from out of state do it all the time. But there's a process. It's called pro hac vis. You file a motion, the court grants it, and boom, you're in. It's usually a formality, unless someone decides to challenge it. Diddy's legal team did. They filed a motion to block Busby's pro hac vice status in the Southern District of New York. Their argument? That he wasn't just late on paperwork. He had filed at least 22 lawsuits without ever disclosing that he wasn't admitted in that court. According to their filings, Busby had effectively been litigating in a jurisdiction where he had no standing. They accused him of egregious misconduct and told the court that someone needed to pump the brakes on what they called a rogue operation. The court agreed, at least enough to pause and ask some hard questions. In early March, Judge Ronnie Abrams issued an order telling Busby to explain himself. The court had previously flagged his status in an earlier case, so this wasn't a first offense. Now it looked like a pattern. Busby was facing the very real possibility of being sanctioned or barred from continuing in those cases altogether. And just like that, the momentum shifted. On March 17th, Busby filed motions to withdraw from 15 federal lawsuits against Combs. In a written statement to the court, he said he'd made an error in judgment and that until he resolved the issue, he'd step back from direct involvement. He apologized to the judge, made it clear his colleagues would continue the fight, and tried to minimize the impact. But let's be honest, this was a major stumble. Because for all the firepower Busby brought to the table, he was also the face of this thing. The guy holding the microphone. The guy giving the quotes. When you picture a high-powered attorney leading dozens of abuse victims into battle, it was Busby you pictured. Now, he was sidelined. Maybe not permanently, but enough to give the defense an opening. And they didn't waste it. Combs' team immediately pointed to the withdrawals as proof that Busby had overstepped. That the entire civil campaign against their client was sloppy and opportunistic. They said these cases were being thrown at the wall to see what would stick. Filed recklessly by someone more interested in press than process. The fact that Busby had to pull out didn't just weaken the cases legally, it cast a shadow over them, especially in the court of public opinion. But, and this is key, the lawsuits didn't go away. The plaintiffs still have representation. New York-based co-counsel is still pushing them forward. Busby's firm is still involved, even if he's not the one signing the papers. And more importantly, Busby said he's still planning to file additional suits in other states like California and Nevada, where he doesn't need the court's permission to appear. So while he may be out of the spotlight in New York, he's not out of the fight. Still, the damage was done. There's a reason defense attorneys care about optics just as much as arguments. The minute you can put doubt in the mind of a jury, or the public, about the people bringing the accusations, you've shifted the playing field. And Busby's misstep gave Combs' team exactly that, a crack in the wall, a weak link in the chain. It also didn't help that the same week Busby was filing his withdrawals, the Jay-Z-related lawsuit was dismissed. That's the one we talked about earlier, the one that accused both Combs and Jay-Z of raping a 13-year-old girl back in 2000. Dropped with prejudice, no payout, no settlement, gone. And as far as the defense is concerned, that's Exhibit A. They're already arguing that if one plaintiff made a false claim, what's stopping others from doing the same? If Busby filed that suit and it fell apart, what does that say about the rest? It's a classic strategy. Find the weakest story and use it to poke holes in everything else. And in this case, the timing was almost too good for Combs. Now, if you're thinking, well, that's just one lawyer, you're not wrong. But in a case like this, the lawyer matters a lot. Busby wasn't just filing paperwork. He was orchestrating a legal campaign, coordinating plaintiffs, holding press conferences, taking interviews. He wasn't just representing accusers. He was shaping the narrative. And because of that, when he stumbled, the narrative stumbled with him. Still, there's a difference between a procedural mistake and a collapse. The lawsuits are still on the books. The accusations haven't gone away. The criminal case is still very much alive. But there's no denying that Busby's withdrawal hurt the civil front of this battle. It slowed the machine down, at least in New York. The bigger question now is whether the defense can leverage this opening and use it to pull apart the broader strategy. Because if they can convince a judge or jury that the civil cases were sloppily handled or driven by publicity or infected with false claims, it could bleed over into everything else. And Combs' lawyers know it. That's the chessboard now, the defense trying to stretch this one tactical win into a broader strategic advantage. The plaintiffs are trying to regroup and move forward without their most visible champion. And Busby, caught in the middle, technically out, but very much still lurking around the edges. But it's not just legal maneuvering that's shaping this story. There's something else looming in the background, something heavier. Because for all the shouting in the courtroom, there's a criminal trial right around the corner. And when that starts, none of the press conferences or procedural stumbles are going to matter as much as the evidence that shows up in front of the jury. And the way things are going, it's not going to be quiet.
The mansion was pristine. Gleaming marble floors, priceless art, not a speck of dust in sight. But beneath all that luxury, secrets, dark ones. The kind that send a chill down your spine when you realize someone's watching. And the housekeeper, she saw everything. The late night visitors, the missing jewelry, the glass of wine that was only half finished before she disappeared. Some say the husband was heartbroken. Others say he was just waiting for the insurance check to clear. But if she had just been prepared, if she had just known the patterns of these kinds of crimes, if she had only subscribed to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, where she could listen to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. ad-free, and before everyone else, she could have gotten out. Instead, well, let's just say her final paycheck is still sitting in the mailroom. Don't make the same mistake. Subscribe now to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care. Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.